Leader Winston Churchill said this: the best test of any country's level of civilization is by examining the way it treats its prisoners. We used to burn people at the stake. We used to hang people from trees on hills. We used to place people in stocks and throw things at them. Here in the Northern Territory, and also typical of white relationship with Aboriginal people, here in the Territory, merely 100 years ago, when we had capital punishment, we didn't hang Aboriginal people sentenced to hanging at Fanny Bay Jail. We had a law that sentenced Aboriginal people to be hung, to be taken out to the place where the crime was committed. And there they were hung on a hill in order to be seen by their families and their brothers and their sisters, and rot so that the Aboriginal people could dwell on that. That's what we used to do back then. Since then, apparently, we've moved on. Since then, apparently, we've progressed. We developed this magical thing, the rule of law, and we have become civilized. Civilized. Now we know, not just us, but the whole country knows, that here, in this town, in Darwin, in the Don Dale Centre, we haven't progressed at all. What has happened here in our community is we have regressed. We've gone backwards. We are far from being a civilized society. And this is now known not only here and in Sydney and Melbourne and Hobart. It's known in Canada, in Britain, in France, in Sri Lanka. The image of that boy in that chair is the image of our legal system. That's where we're at. And we have descended to that cruelty and barbarity and inhumanity in dealing with prisoners. But they're not just prisoners. We've descended in dealing with children. This is about children, not adults, kids. Children are sacred. Remember the name of the report, which ended up triggering the federal intervention. Well, the name of the report was right, because they are sacred. Our society's most precious thing are our children. Now, the person responsible for our legal system, which we all know about, the country all knows about, the world all knows about. Like in every other common law jurisdiction, the person responsible for our legal system is the Attorney General. The first law officer is his title. He's responsible for the courts, he's responsible for the police, he's responsible for the jails. And that man is John Elfrink. He also happens to be the man who's responsible as the Minister for Corrections. Talk about responsibility. He likes talking about responsibility. I've heard him going on about Aboriginal people taking responsibility for their actions. And the parents of these little darlings. I've seen him, I've heard him say all that. Well, it is responsibility time First Law Officer. Surely to goodness. I first became aware of the depths, the levels to which our legal system had descended when I was briefed to represent the boy who famously escaped from the maximum security unit where he was held. He was 16, Aboriginal, held in the maximum security of the old adult prison jail, Berrima. That's what this government made the new Don Dale. The old, decrepit, derelict, dangerous, ex-adult male jail. Well, I don't think there's much shame on this kid who escaped, quite frankly, because I've met him, he's instructed me, and what he was escaping from was the brutality and the horror and the conditions that our legal system had chosen to subject him to. And that kid, along with three others, broke out. He got up on the roof of the maximum security block. The maximum security block, it used to be called B Block. It housed Andy Albury, leech, killers, psychopaths, rapists, pedophiles. That's where he slept every night with other children. And this kid broke out and he got over the fence and he stole a car and he ran around Darwin and then spectacularly he went back and the whole world saw that. Platform 9 3/4 from Harry Potter. Straight through the door. And then, having returned, he proceeded to do driving around Hoonig for about an hour, while all the prison officers and all the media and all the police and the tactical response group and the rifles and the capsicums and the lasers and the tasers all watched this kid for an hour. And then he got out of the car and then he surrendered to the authorities. He has surrendered himself back into our legal system, our system of justice. And then he was taken from that hole with the other kid he was with, and he was taken to the big house, the new super jail, the 1.8 billion monstrosity, which holds the highest jail population on the planet, 86% of which are Aboriginal. This is our society. This is your society. This is your justice system. And they put them in there, and they put them in isolation, him and the other kid. And they put him in solitary confinement, in a cell, on his own, 16, in the big house, in a cell, on his own, for 23 hours out of 24. And he got 1 hour out, and it was in a caged area. And that's right. And they fed him, the authorities, the legal system, your legal system. They gave him 3 meals a day, but they gave him no utensils to eat those meals with, this 16-year-old boy. So he had to eat his meals with his bare hands, a 16-year-old Aboriginal boy. And he was in there for 10 days. And that's when I first came across this fucking disaster. Which is your justice system. And I represented him in court, and it goes on. Because this covers the field. And it's why this Royal Commission has to cover the field. And it's why this Royal Commission has to be a fair income real one. This goes on. This kid didn't get brought to court to answer the charges of breaking out and stealing a car and generally entertaining the entire world for a brief period. He didn't get brought to court. He came into court on a video link on a screen. I was in court. I was his lawyer. The judge was in court. The prosecutor was in court. His family was in court. But he wasn't in court. He was on a screen in a room in the adult prison. And he was sitting on a chair. And guess what? He was handcuffed to that chair. And guess what? He was shackled to the same chair. And so was the other kid. And in that room, there were two adult prison guards standing over him. And the door was shut. And I couldn't believe it. And I've been a lawyer for 30 years. And the first thing I asked of the judge was, before we get on with this business, can I have my client, who's a boy, unhandcuffed and unshackled, please? The judge ruled that she didn't have the power to do it. And I said, well, your first and foremost duty and responsibility as a judge is to ensure that everybody that comes in here, black, white, male, female, young, old, gets a fair trial. Remember fairness? And she still didn't do it. And so the proceeding continued in that vein. What a nonsense. What a disgrace. What a shame job. But remember, it's your legal system. You can't get out of this. I can't get out of it. My fingerprints are all over this. It's our system. We allowed this to happen. This is where we've got to. And when I finished that case and I spoke to the Najah lawyers and they told me about what in God's name had been going on for years. This had been going on for years. This wasn't a one-off. This had been going on for years at Don Dale. And what it was a deliberate policy of punity, punishment, physical, now we know, mental. That's what our government chose to employ directly and deliberately against our children who were in detention. Now, we know a large extent of it now, thanks to Four Corners coming up here and getting the film and exposing it all and shocking the whole country. Seen it. And I, for one, I'm not going to forget it ever. I'm not going to allow myself to forget it. Because watch this one. The maneuvers that are going on now with swiftness and moving on and having a commission of inquiry are all designed in the main for us to put it out of our memory. That's what's going on right now. And we would be improper if we allowed that to happen. We should never forget the image of that boy in that chair in our detention centre, put in there for 2 hours, shackled, hooded, door closed. That's Darwin 2016. That's Australia 2016. Shame's the word, all right. Now, the whole country's been moved, thank Christ. The whole country's been shocked. The whole country's upset. The whole country's shed tears. And they're still doing it. Again, thank God. We're still human. We still know what is right and what is wrong. They're also angry. Australia's angry. Not just us at this park today, not just the relations of these kids now and ones that have been there before subjected to this, but everybody in the country is angry. And clearly, the first thing, it's now Saturday, the show was on Monday. The first thing that has to happen is it has to stop. Now, right now. They're still being gathered by those guards. And I know from instructions from them that they're terrified. They have to be got out, and they have to be, if they have to be guarded, there has to be somebody different to the Northern Territory Department of Corrections. Because now there is no trust, no faith in that department, in that legal system. Now, as a lawyer, I was initially encouraged by the swift, to quote Malcolm Turnbull, announcement of having a Royal Commission of Inquiry. Now, I know Aboriginal people have been charred and broiled and sucked in and blown out of several royal commissions over many years. But nevertheless, as a lawyer, from my experience, a royal commission could and should be a good thing, if it's a proper one. It could be the breakthrough moment, if it's a proper and real one. But, guess what? Look what we've been subjected to since Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and yesterday, and again today, no doubt. Politics. Politicians in action. Politicians maneuvering. People who are in the fraying, designing another machine to restrain, which would be what the proposed Royal Commission presently is. Be careful about moving swiftly. Be careful about moving on. I don't see any need whatsoever in doing any of this inquiry swiftly. Get the kids out now, for sure. But then, let's just take our time and set up a real and proper and comprehensive Royal Commission of Inquiry, which is independent in all ways from this jurisdiction where this atrocity has been going on. Look at the manner in which this Royal Commission has been set up. Swiftly, all right. Aboriginal people reacted, as you'd expect. Everybody reacted. And what they sought from the federal government when the Prime Minister announced it was, first of all, and do you really need to ask, consultation. Secondly, they asked for involvement. Thirdly, they asked that whoever this commissioner is to be, can you make sure he is independent and has nothing to do with this jurisdiction, historically or otherwise? That was their first predictable, understandable, entirely reasonable request demand. And what did they get? What did we get? The opposite. The Prime Minister of Australia chose not to listen to any of that. He ignored it deliberately, willfully, and he consulted, can you believe it, the Chief Minister, Adam Giles, the person responsible. We consulted the Chief Minister, who is totally in the frame, who is directly responsible for all of this outrage. And he consulted him with a view to framing the terms of reference that would guide the Commissioner. And he consulted him in relation to the Commissioner. And within 3 days, oh yeah, it was also swift. Wasn't that impressive? Aren't we impressed by that? Thanks very much for that speed, that alacrity. Within 3 days, he comes out of the Prime Minister's Parliament Hall there, and he tells the Territory citizens what's going to happen, having consulted the Chief Minister. And the Federal Attorney General, George Brandis, in announcing this, they do some typical political motherhood statements about kids, etc., etc. And then they tell us what we're going to get. But before he tells us what we're going to get, he actually feels compelled to congratulate two people. George Brandis, Federal Attorney General, setting up the Royal Commission into that boy in that chair. And he says he feels compelled to congratulate two people. First of all, the Northern Territory's Chief Minister, Andrew Giles. Now, can anybody, for the life of me, please suggest any reason imaginable why that man could be entitled to any type of congratulations? Well, apparently it's because he's cooperated. Well, you bet your bottom dollar he's cooperated, because he's been caught with his fingers in the till, thanks to Four Corners. He's gone. And the other person that he felt compelled to congratulate was the proposed Royal Commissioner, who is the former Chief Justice of this very jurisdiction. So they've ignored, deliberately ignored, what we need. And when I say we, I mean not just Aboriginal people, we, the whole of Australia needs Sydneysiders, Tasmanians. This country needs a proper one. This country needs to clean up this shit that we've discovered. So we get Adam Giles, congratulate. I mean, I thought this government was about victims. That's the war cry that they keep giving us. We're doing this to our children because we're looking after victims. Well, guess what? Who are the victims here? The boy in the chair is the victim, and all the other children and their parents and their loved ones and their friends and the ones that have been going in and out of that hellhole for literally years, being subjected to those assaults, being stripped bare by three grown men, thrown around like rag dolls. They're victims. So let's look after them. Now, I just want to speak again as a lawyer as to, again, I do believe that a real Royal Commission of Inquiry could be a breakthrough if it's a proper one. And that's what Aboriginal people asked for. And they asked for one that was independent from this jurisdiction, that would come in with what's called a counsel assisting, who would be an experienced QC from maybe Sydney or Melbourne, come up, determine what all the issues are, subpoena, order all the relevant evidence, subpoena all the relevant witnesses that are ordered to come and give evidence and answer truthfully. That's how it should work. And it can work. It's really quite simple. We've done it before. We did it. Bob Hawke did it in 86 with the Chamberlain case. When that got to the state that it got to, he said, right, we've had enough. We'll have a full federal Royal Commission of Inquiry. And he headed it up by a federal court judge, Trevor Morling, who was completely independent of this place, had no contact with it whatsoever historically. And that's how it works. I appeared last year in the Royal Commission and Doretta Dixon. And again, that's how it works. A senior New South Wales appeal court judge with Aboriginal commissioners beside him and independent counsel. And we were able, as a consequence of that proper type of Royal Commission, to summons no less than the Director of Public Prosecutions and all the police that were relevant into the disgraceful way they conducted themselves into prosecuting the criminals that assaulted and abused the victims that were in their addiction. So it can be done, and it should be done. And let's face it, there are royal commissions and there are royal commissions, and I would suggest to the people of Australia that this is as important a royal commission as you could ever require. This isn't looking into the trade union movement. We're not looking into the banks. This is about our children. So we get the best. We get the best commissioners, including Aboriginal commissioners. We get a retired High Court judge who's got no links to this joint, and we can get on with the job properly. The difficulty, the impossibility in my opinion, of the proposed commissioner sitting is really quite legal. It's as simple as that. It's quite strictly legal. He lived and worked up here. He was the centre, the apex. He was in charge of the whole judicial system. He was in charge of every judge. He was in charge of every magistrate that sent these kids to Don Dale. He himself has sent his children to Don Dale. Not only that, he's not a retired judge, by the way. He's actually still on the books. He sat in Alice Springs only a month ago in a murder trial. He's a reserve judge. He's still an NT Supreme Court judge. He's current. He's not retired, he's current. And so he's got all that history, all that present. He's also, as I think Josie pointed out, accepted a commission to provide a report to, guess who, John Elfrink, remember him, and Adam Giles, in order to set up an ICAC. Only this year, he produced that report. Only this year. So he's made them,